better off. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to A Pod of Their Own. This is episode 53 of A Pod of Their Own. I am Allison McCaig, and I am joined this week by my lovely co-host, Linda Serovich. Hi, Linda.
Hey, Allison.
And Maggie Wiggin. Hi, Maggie.
Hi, Allison.
The one in which there is baseball, apparently, almost. Last time we recorded 2 weeks ago, they had literally just announced that there was going to be a baseball season. So since then, we have started what they're calling summer camp, sort of second spring training. I don't know how I feel about that branding, but whatever. We'll ignore that, I suppose.
It feels like one of those things that would have been cute if all of the fans had just called it that. But now that they're actually like making it all official and having like themed sponsors, it just feels very like, well, now it's not fun anymore.
Yeah, they ruined it.
Yeah, it's like how something is trendy until your parents start doing it, and then you're like, ooh, never mind.
Yes, our collective yeah. parents just started calling it summer camp, and we're like, no, that's not cute when you do it.
Yeah, it's only okay when we say it.
Like, you killed it, it's over.
Yep, they killed it, but that's okay. It's happening. Whether we like it or not, it is happening. Thus far, no Mets have opted out of the season, and Brody Van Wagenen said in his first press conference since, I think, March, since, like, spring training was a thing before COVID, he said he didn't expect any Mets to opt out, and I found that phrasing interesting, and, you know, the optimistic part of me, the naive part of me, I guess you could say, wants to feel like he's saying that based on his players actually telling him that, and he's just reporting this to the media. But the more, you know, grounded, logical, cynical part of my brain says that he is saying it that way to emotionally manipulate his players, and it's kind of gross.
Like, Jake, blink twice if you're being held hostage.
Yeah.
Jake, I think it's probably a little of both. I think we kind of have to just take players at their word, especially since some are being vocal about not opting out, but for, you know, unfortunate reasons. And yeah, but it's definitely got a little like skeezy cover our asses kind of feel to it. So
like a
classic
lot of
Brody.
Do. Yeah. Like, the only player that I watched or listened to, I guess, like, extensively discuss this was Seth Lugo. He gave a pretty long press conference. Like, he talked to the media for, like, a good 10 or 15 minutes the other day. And during it, they asked him about opting out because he is one of the players on the team that actually has a newborn child at home. And so they asked him about it, and he was totally not hesitant at all. He said, nope, never crossed my mind. I live to play baseball. I'm going to play. And, you know, we're going to get into this more extensively later in the baseball segment when we talk about opting out more broadly, not just in a Mets context. But, you know, Seth Lugo is a player who is arbitration eligible and, you know, hasn't gotten a big free agent contract yet in his career, despite having a very solid career thus far. You know, so there are certain players that have more leverage to do this than others, and Seth Lugo is not one of the players with leverage, so it's not surprising to me that he would not hesitate to play, because he has more to gain out of it. So, you know, but it's good that hopefully the Mets, it seems based on the things that Michael Conforto has said, because he's the player rep for the Mets, so they've asked him the most about, like, all of the, like, protocols and the MLB union negotiations and all that stuff. It does seem that, you know, the Mets and Conforto and everybody else are taking this really seriously. We've seen them distancing out during summer camp with masks and all that stuff.
So lots of masks makes me very happy.
Oh, yes, I'm very proud.
Love to see it. And, you know, so far, you know, my desk is wood, I'm knocking on it, and it's very early, and anything can happen, and you can be as cautious as any team and still have bad things happen. It's not entirely because of who follows protocol and who doesn't, but so far the Mets have not had a rash of positive tests the way that some other teams have had. The Mets have been relatively lucky in the actual positive COVID test department thus far, but you know, a lot can change in a very short time, so that remains to be seen, but in the early
I wonder if that has something to do too, like, if we take Brody's comments at face value, if that has something to do with players not opting out, like, because they just haven't seen the effects of it, or, you know, they haven't come close to it. And Brandon Nimmo the other day said their testing has gone smoothly. So I don't know if it's because New York was just more prepared for this, that maybe they feel more confident, or, you know, because we got hit the hardest the first. So, and all the owners were on Cuomo's reopening plan. So I don't know how long they've been talking about this, if testing goes into that, or if all the testing goes to Utah. But it seems like New York maybe was perhaps better prepared for the return to sports than some other states were. So I don't know if that gives the Mets a comfort level, but like Nick Markakis the other day said after talking to Freddie Freeman that he got scared, and he said he sounded so sick and that's why I decided to opt out. So I don't know, maybe there's just so many factors here that it's hard to say one way or the other.
Well, the Mets have a lot of young players,
yeah,
who are not necessarily guaranteed anything. You know, players like Stroman are free agents and are going to have to, like, get a contract. A good one, probably. Yeah.
Well, and also, like, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. Like, if you opt out, like, people are going to hold that against you. But mm-hmm. then if you play and get sick, or play and get hurt, or play and get shelled in a short season, they're also going to hold that against you. So you're in a no-win situation as a free agent, or a pending free agent.
Yeah, I mean, Maggie's right.
Just cross outside your fingers, hope for the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Outside of Jacob deGrom, the Mets don't have too many players that are guaranteed, contracts beyond this season. I mean, obviously you have the very young players that are still pre-arbitration who are going to get paid the same regardless of what kind of stuff goes on in 2020 for them. So for them, you know, it doesn't really matter either way, but you pretty much everybody else is either arbitration or a free agent. Like, who else besides Jacob deGrom has guaranteed contract money beyond this
season? Cano.
Cano.
Familia, maybe?
Familia, because he was signed to a 3-year deal.
Very
unfortunate. And I mean, there are a couple guys, like Dellin Betances, I believe, has an option.
I think Waka. Does Waka he have an option?
Has an option?
Or does he just have incentives? I can't keep it straight.
I think he just has incentives.
Okay.
Which, obviously, those are going to be reworked and prorated and whatnot.
Did Ramos have an option?
I don't think so.
Maybe. No, I don't know.
I don't think so, but possible. I know Betances had an option. That I remember. But, yeah. So, there are very few Mets who are, you know, settled and have the luxury of opting out. It's basically Jacob deGrom. And obviously, like, if he opts out, the Mets are in deep trouble. Not that that means that he should feel any obligation to play. He has two young kids, one of which had health issues at birth, pretty serious ones, cardiac issues, if I recall.
No, it's a respiratory issue.
Respiratory, even worse. So, you know, there are reasons for a lot of these players, Brandon Nimmo especially. Michael wrote a piece about Brandon Nimmo, wrote in his season preview, basically, but turned it into a piece about players like Brandon Nimmo who have had weird health problems in the past. Like, Brandon Nimmo had a collapsed lung once, had weird cardiac issues in spring training pre-COVID, and so players like that, you know, there are question marks, but many of them have money to play for here, and so they feel, you know, they don't have the luxury of a guaranteed contract, and that's the case for pretty much all the Mets besides Segura.
And also, and also the fact that they're young too. Like, Pete's just so excitable; he's never gonna opt out. Like, just
yeah,
and like him. I think JD Davis, Dominic Smith. I feel like, and Dominic Smith is another one. He had sleep apnea. Like, he could be, you know, he might have underlying issues too. But I just feel like they're too in love with the game to ever. And also, you're young. You think you're invincible. I don't know if it's really hit them yet at that age.
I thought that was what was so interesting about Markakis saying that it wasn't really until he talked to Freddie Freeman that he decided to opt out, which I know we're kind of bleeding into the next segment. But, like, I think it is hard to imagine it for some people. And I think it is, you know, easy to kind of buy into the idea that, like, it only hits old and sick people hard because, you know, because that's where, like, the death numbers are. But there's a lot that's not death that you still really don't want about COVID.
Right. Exactly. And I mean, yeah, like Nick Markakis saw it in front of his face. He talked to Freddie Freeman, who obviously, and I mean, like, all the Twitter trolls will say over and over, they're young and healthy, so it doesn't matter for them. Like, look at Freddie Freeman. He's really sick. And his wife took to Instagram to say, like, this virus knocked him on his ass. And, like, who's more athletic than Freddie Freeman? Like, right? This isn't an out of shape. Like, I know that there are lots of, you know, shapes and sizes of players that can play baseball, but Freddie Freeman is, you know, pretty in shape. And you know, he's really young still. And so it's seeing it in front of your face. And, you know, like Maggie's mentioned on the pod before, like, she saw her own mother go through this. And I saw a really close friend of mine who's the same age as me, his late 20s, perfectly healthy. He was sick for months, very, very sick, like, not hospitalized sick. He went to the hospital initially because the reason he found out he was positive is because he passed out. So they took him to the ER and then he got a positive test. But, like,
and this is actually really common with COVID that, and it's actually, I mean, my mom was obviously pretty sick, but she didn't even know how sick she was until she passed out because there's something about the way that you vent carbon dioxide that makes you not realize that you don't get enough oxygen.
Yep.
Like, you don't feel the lack of oxygen, you feel the buildup of carbon dioxide. So if you're breathing out carbon dioxide normally, you won't necessarily feel like you can't breathe until it's really bad. And that's what happened to a lot of people who don't even realize how sick they are until they are literally unconscious. So get a pulse oximeter, guys.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, really, buy one. That's a really good thing to have around the house.
Yep.
My God.
Sorry.
Yeah, he had no idea. He didn't even know he was sick. He didn't know at all until he passed out.
That's
so
scary.
And then
he was taken
to the ER. I mean, luckily for him, like, he wasn't admitted and didn't have to stay in the hospital long term. He just had to, you know, get back on his feet again. And, like, just overnight they kept him. But he was sick for months. Very sick. In a perfectly healthy man in his late 20s. Very sick. I watched a friend go through this. I know how bad it can be, even if you're not hospitalized, even if you're not on a ventilator, even if you're not, you know, fighting for your actual life. It doesn't mean that there aren't terrible long-term repercussions.
I'll tell you what, if Freddie Freeman is still sick enough right now that he is frightening some teammates, then he's not playing this year.
Right.
No.
That's not going to happen.
And he tested negative at first, too.
Yeah.
And then
Joey Gallo's test results?
Yep.
He's had two positive and two negative tests in the last week.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, I keep spoiling the second
segment. Yeah, because I know Freeman tested negative, and then he showed up the next day with a fever, so they tested him again, and that's when it came back positive.
These tests have a high false negative rate, folks. High. So like, yes, getting a negative test result is good, you know, but it doesn't mean that you're never going to get a positive test by any stretch of the imagination. Especially early on in your infection. It's really hard to detect it.
And that's why MLB's sickening numbers, like, oh, we only had like 1.2 people test positive. Like, that was just a joke when they released
those numbers. They spent the next 2 days, like, and those other guys. And then this one
also. And then that guy.
And his friend. And four of their buddies. And these didn't even
get their results. And we're still waiting on the A's. And the Brewers went home. And
the Angels just no longer exist as a major league franchise, apparently.
Like, the whole thing was such, like, I don't want to call it a joke because it's not funny, but, like, what are we doing here? This is, look, these are people's lives. You only
get one shot at a first impression, and they fucked theirs up big time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if that was their chance to show that they are serious about doing this right, well, okay. Sure thing, buds.
Yeah, who was it today? I think the Giants just shut down today because they hadn't gotten their results back yet.
So many teams this is happening to.
It is.
It happened to the Nationals, too. They yep. had to shut down their camp because they didn't get their tests back. It's embarrassing. It's a farce. It's terrible. Like,
and also, what annoyed me was they spent months trying to bleed the players dry out of every penny, and yet they weren't working on health protocols. They didn't, like, what killed me was, like, oh, we didn't foresee Sunday and the 4th of July coming. Really? That was your excuse for the delayed tests?
You didn't have a calendar?
Yeah. Like, okay. Maybe you should have been focusing on the whole reason why baseball was shut down to begin with, instead of trying to make the billionaires more money. Like, maybe you should have had your priorities straight to begin with, and then maybe we would have some sense of baseball right now.
America's pastime, a $10 billion institution, failed by weekends.
And the 4th of July.
And holidays, excuse me.
That they play on every year. The 4th of July,
which MLB has never once observed.
How are they supposed to remember that Independence Day falls on the 4th this year?
Yeah, seriously. We've never done nationalism on 4th of July at MLB ballparks before. That's new.
Yeah. Ugh. Oh, and remember when we were supposed to have opening day on the 4th of July?
LOL.
Mm-hmm.
LOL. So...
Y'all excited to go to Florida? Just watch the... Not y'all, but watch the Mets go to Florida several times this summer? I'm not excited about it.
Nope.
Are you excited about it?
And I don't want the Marlins coming here either.
I don't want them coming here. I didn't even... Like, look, I love Pete, but I was still like, Pete, I hope you quarantined because I know where you're coming from.
Florida man, Pete Alonso.
And also Stroman, too. I know we mentioned this, helping the kids. Oh, Marcus, thank God. I'm assuming he had a negative test.
I'll give him a pass because he's selling masks.
He is.
On his site. And I feel like that's fine. I can
purchase a height don't measure heart mask because...
They're pretty, too. Did you see
that? Yeah, they're really nice.
Yeah.
Wait, I need this in my life.
No, you really do need this in your life.
You do.
Marcus from one Stroman shorty to another.
Birds of a feather.
I could have sworn you got a free mask with purchase, too.
Oh my goodness gracious, don't tell me that. I'm excited. Okay. Other notes from Mets camp. So, I just feel like, just for the Amazing Avenue brand, we should mention that we've already had a couple of in the best shape of his life storylines. We've had Yoenis Cespedes apparently hitting monster dongs already in summer camp, which is great. And apparently he looks good in outfield drills, too, for whatever that's worth, although they declined to say that he will actually play the field. And also Melky Cabrera says he's in the best shape he's ever been. So,
okay,
cool. The Mets signed in case you missed it, by the way, Melky Cabrera's on the Mets. Along with a and bunch like of other
others.
Guys.
Yeah, remembering some guys.
The Mets really, really remembered some guys in the free agent market. Hunter Strickland is a Met now. Gordon Beckham is a Met now.
Jared Hughes.
There are a lot of guys that are suddenly Mets that are, you know, the Mets are building the 2012 World Series championship team, as per usual. So... it's happening. I mean, you know, as depth signing, is this whatever, these are fine, but it's just funny how they always pick, like, the most, like, washed up Metsy guys imaginable for these signings.
I don't know. It seems ridiculous.
Hughes has potential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, they all have potential. But if this feels Metsy now, just wait till we're calling up five of them at the same time for a coronavirus outbreak, because that...
No, they can't tell you. It's for undisclosed reasons, Maggie.
Yeah, no, they all tweaked their ankles at the exact same time.
There was really bad traffic coming out from Long Island.
Mm.
Of course. There's traffic. And did Pete Alonso say he missed the traffic?
Yes, he did. What a piece thing to say.
It's pretty
amazing. It's also a very 25-year-old living in New York City thing to say.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Because for sure I have been 25 living in the city, and, like, it's a weird, like, everything that's terrible is also good. Like, oh, I missed this disgusting dive bar. I haven't been here in a week.
Well, Pete was very sweet, too. He posted a picture of a sunset, and he said, I've never seen a New York City sunset because I'm usually at the ballpark.
Oh, that's very cute.
Aww. I don't think the math works out, but yeah, that's sweet.
I was like, aw, Pete.
So pure.
He is.
The other in the best shape of his life story, or at least in the best shape of his life adjacent, is that we have the Jed Lowry I don't want to create a distraction t-shirt has people asking me questions about my shirt.
Yeah, like... I don't want to tell you what my injury is because it would be distracting. Well, that settles that question. Definitely not curious anymore.
Well, I mean, if they have to be shadowy about the COVID list, the Mets have that down pat. Like, nobody has perfected the art of obfuscation better than the Mets.
Yeah, true. Actually, the real secret is that Jed Lowry is patient zero, and he had coronavirus this whole time, and he's actually had it for 18 months.
Well, I mean, all theories are welcome.
Yeah, that's my running theory.
The theory that I've heard that makes the most sense is that he got some weird off-field ACL injury. I forget exactly why, but apparently it made sense timeline-wise. And that it was just like one of those things that just showed off how kind of generally weird and embarrassing they are, and it took them a while to figure it out. So
that sounds messy. Cespedes getting injured via wild boar. Like, how much more weird can you get at this point? Like, you're really not going to disclose that? Like, we're Mets fans. We can't be surprised at anything at this point.
Yeah, you can't hurt us anymore.
You can't hurt us, so you might as well just tell us. Like,
oh my God, don't tempt them like that.
Oh my God. But also, can we talk about Yo?
Yeah.
I was just seeing him hitting dingers. Like, I don't want baseball to happen. Like, I want baseball to be safe, but then seeing him taking batting practice, it's like, damn it. Now my hopes are up.
It's true.
Especially seeing him and Pete together. Oh,
the good shit. I do like that very much.
And also, if there is no season, we'll never see Cespedes again. He won't come back.
But also, there should probably not be a season.
No, I know.
It's real bad.
It is.
It's real bad.
But I'm like, can I just watch Cespedes hitting dingers on an infinite loop then?
Yeah, that I would like. Can we just watch Cespedes do batting practice? I'd like that. Must see.
I would sign up for that. Like, any day of the week, I will sign up for Pete and Cespedes just hitting dingers. And
six feet away from each other.
Yes. And then they clean down the machines, clean down the plate, and then Pete steps in, and then he hits dingers.
Yes. But yeah, I guess the other Mets news that we need to address is that the Steve Cohen rumors are back in earnest. We had talked about the J-Rod rumors being back, but now there are several groups all like kind of officially starting to bid on the Mets. They're like submitting their bids, which are all apparently under $2 billion. And the Wilpons claim that they will not sell for anything under $2 billion. But it's clear that Steve Cohen has kind of emerged as the front runner, and his interest is really rekindled. And he has the advantage of being able to watch all these other groups bid because he's a minority owner currently. So he is, you know, privy to what these bids are. And so he can just be like, okay, this is what other people are bidding, so I can just outbid them in the end. So we'll see what happens.
He's the only one financially who could outbid.
Yes. Yes.
Like, none of them else can compete with him. So
I think that those British brothers might be almost as rich as Cohen, but Cohen is an actor.
And I think they all have a couple billion to burn.
Yes, they do. But Cohen is a bona fide rich guy.
We know he wants the team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he doesn't need like a whole group of people. Unlike like Alex Rodriguez cannot afford the Mets by himself. He needs a whole group that he's gotten together, but Cohen can just drop $2 billion on his own.
I can't even imagine.
Normal country we've got here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's great.
And I don't know. We've already discussed Steve Cohen at length. I don't feel like going into it again, but Mets Twitter's having a party about it, and I get it, but I can't join. I can't get as psyched as some people are getting about it.
Like, this just kind of feels inevitable at this point, so it is what it is.
Yep. What billionaire ghoul will own our team next? Whatever.
Exactly. They're all ghouls.
Yep.
Could be worse. Could be the Ricketts.
Yeah, yes. That's true. Could always be worse.
Again, let's not tempt the fates, though.
No one would have ever thought an entrenched community like Hollywood could let someone come in and completely disrupt the content.
I'm Ronnie Mola.
And I'm Peter Kafka.
And we are the hosts of the new season of Land of the Giants, The Netflix Effect. We're exploring all things Netflix by talking to the people who started the company.
We'll get into their bruising battle with Blockbuster.
That was 20 times larger than us, which is not a good place to be. Okay, so in many ways, why I feel like so randomly lucky to have survived.
We'll look at the mistake that could have ended the company.
In hindsight, it was incredibly tone deaf and it blew up in our faces as it should have.
And we'll talk about how Netflix took over our screens and how they plan to win the war for our attention.
Land of the Giants, The Netflix Effect. From Recode and the Vox Media Podcast Network.
First episode drops June 23rd. Listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, we kind of alluded to this earlier, but we figured, given the rash of players opting out and players testing positive, that's obviously the major baseball point of discussion this week. The numbers are rising. Lots of players are opting out. Some of them are not small name players either. There are major, major names that are opting out of this season, and it remains to be seen if, like, Mike Trout's going to play. He has alluded to not playing.
I do think there should be an official rule that if Mike Trout opts out of anything ever, it's automatically canceled.
Yeah.
Yes.
How can it be good if he's not in it?
Right.
Yes.
But yeah, like, really big names like David Price, Ryan Zimmerman. Like we mentioned, Nick Markakis, like these are not trivial names at all, are opting out of the season.
But again, they made their money. It's exactly. All people who made their money.
Yep.
And I'm Zach pretty Wheeler. Sure there was a New York Times article about that recently, about the financial, the combined wealth of the people who were able to opt out.
Yes, yes. The New York Times did an excellent job of pointing that out. Our own Kate Feldman has tweeted extensively about this. certain players, I mentioned this in a Mets context, but obviously it applies more broadly, like certain players can afford to do this because they have guaranteed contracts. David Price has made a lot of money playing baseball, hundreds of millions of dollars. He can afford to opt out. Zach Wheeler hasn't decided whether to opt out of this season. He's already been paid by the Phillies. He can opt out. And we shouldn't begrudge them for it. They have every right. They have every right.
It's just so icky that this is what it comes down to. Like, if you're financially secure enough, like, you're forcing people to prioritize their career or their health and family. And it's just icky. And you shouldn't be forcing that decision upon.
Oh, so much. It's a microcosm of everything around us.
Yep.
That it sucks. And we all saw it coming. We all knew that this was going to be, because baseball is always a microcosm. Yeah. But man, it's not great to see it unfolding, just like we all feel like it's going to unfold.
Yep. Makes me sad. Yep.
And what happens when a person's career is changed because he got sick? And, you know, what if it's I'm not going to say Pete Alonso because I don't want to put that out in the universe. But, you know, somebody who's just starting out in their career who haven't made their millions yet, was it worth it then? Was it worth it to have a bullshit season to potentially ruin these guys' careers?
I guess we're going to find out.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
I just keep hope. Every time there's more scary news, I think this has got to be it. Now they'll cancel the season, and they never do, and they never get close to it. So
Freeman scares me.
Yeah.
That's
because really scary. He's not to diminish anybody else being sick, but he seems like a genuinely good dude, and it seems he's really sick, and that's scary.
Yeah, this is the first. I don't think I've heard of anybody else among players being sick like Freddie is sick right now.
Kingery just put out a story.
Yeah, he was the other
today.
One I saw.
Yeah, I didn't read the article yet, but Kingery did put out an article today saying how sick he was.
Damn.
I didn't read it completely. He still sick?
I don't know. I think he's back in camp, so I don't think he's still sick. Yeah, because then he was meeting with the media, so I think he is back.
Well, that'll be interesting to see then.
Yeah.
It says, and the Cubs I'm reading an article also about it now, and it said that he felt his first symptoms on June 11th, and that he's still nowhere near ready to contribute.
Oof. So, but is he in camp or no?
I'm trying to see.
But yeah, because that's just it. It's not like it's, a ruptured Achilles, which is terrible, but it's pretty much what the timeline is. This is a novel virus.
And
people for months sometimes. And there's no way to predict who it will affect for months and who it won't.
And you know how to fix a ruptured Achilles. You know how to fix Tommy John. Those have options. What are the options? Because we said, you don't know how it'll affect somebody. You don't know what the long-term effects are. Their treatment, sure, but nobody knows how to fully. There's no cure. There's no vaccine. So,
There are entire online communities forming, support groups forming for people who are dealing with long-term effects of the virus because there's no info out there. So people just sort of have to band together in their misery to get through this. And I respect that. I think most of the baseball players are making the decision that is in their hearts and that will make them happier, but I also feel like I don't know that all of them are hearing the whole story before they make that choice. And you know, some of them will make that choice anyway, but it's ridiculous that they are even, you know, in the position to be making this choice. It should not be up for discussion, but here we are. So yay, play ball, I guess.
Because,
I'll still watch it like a sucker.
I know. And like we said, like no athlete, like athletes in their nature is to be competitive. So like sometimes that works against them. So sometimes you have to take that option away from them because they'll do something stupid like play their own pandemic.
Yeah, that's a point I made recently to one of the people who in the Amazing Avenue comment section, because Vaz wrote an article a couple weeks back now, basically saying like we shouldn't have a season; it's not safe. And that obviously incited some debate. And you know, among the people who you know felt that we should play baseball, a lot of their argument was, you know, it's fine, they're healthy, and I tried to impart that point, Linda, to them. Like, these are ball players, they're gonna be competitive, and no, we shouldn't, they were like, you know, should we override the player's will? They seem to want to play, and I'm like, yes, in some cases, yes, we should. We should take the ball from Matt Harvey when he knows he shouldn't be pitching anymore. We should take it away from him because he's going to want to pitch every single time. Playing through injuries and things, which players do all the time, should not be a normalized part of the culture either. And yet it is.
Because we've seen that work so well for the Mets.
Right.
Like, we know there's consequences to them, to their competitiveness. We've seen it firsthand. Like you said, Matt Harvey, perfect example. David Wright, another perfect example. Like,
well, that's what makes the Mets' insistence on, like, messing around with players and injuries and, like, making them play through it. That's what makes it so much skeezier because they know. They know that these kids would play under any circumstances they could, and they take advantage of that to serve their own moneyed interests.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really manipulative and gross and wrong. And now it isn't even just them anymore. You know, it's an entire community that is all in this together, whether we like it or not. And it just, this all feels so, the priorities are just so misplaced and the risk is just so unnecessary.
Yeah, it's like, up to these authorities in the coaches and baseball and other higher authorities, the GM. It's up to them to exercise better judgment than the players. But yet they don't.
Like, I phrased it because somebody on the Rangers, he's 19 years old and has both celiac and diabetes. And I'm like, you're really going to let this kid play? Like, of course he's going to want to play. So I phrased it as somebody has to be the adult in the room and tell him, no, you can't play. Like,
human beings are terrible at risk assessment.
Yes, exactly.
As a species, we are not good at that.
But, like, in baseball, from what I've seen, there are no adults in the room. They've clearly demonstrated that.
Yep. There are no adults. Oh, by the way, Scott Kingery has not yet rejoined the Phillies. He has had a negative test, but he has to have another one before he can actually join camp. So that's his status.
I want to say it was somebody, I can't remember, but they said an anonymous pitcher put the timeline as if you get test positive, it'll be 2 weeks you're sick, then you need 2 weeks to ramp up, and then like 2 weeks of like games or something. I was like, that's not how this works. You can't just assume you'll be fine in 2 weeks. You need two negative tests before you can even go back to practice, and that's after you've been sick for a while. So I don't even know how you can put a timeline on this.
I mean, this is basically the timeline for like an asymptomatic case.
Yeah.
And so you have to start from that timeline and add on for every like possible range of symptoms. So if you have mild symptoms, maybe like add on a week to that. If you have moderate symptoms, maybe it's 2 or 3 weeks, like severe symptoms, and just forget it. Like just like go home and go to bed and hope for the best. Like,
yeah. At that point, why even bother? Because the season's only what, 6 weeks? No, it's got to be longer than that.
A like, little bit longer. It's 60 yeah. games, but they're playing them in like
66 days, 66 I think.
Yes.
So you can be, like, if you have serious symptoms, you can be sick for, like, half of that. And then, mm-hmm. like, it takes a really long time. Like, just because you're not sick anymore doesn't mean you're in playing shape at that point. Sometimes, like, you know, you've, like a lot of people who experience severe symptoms lose a shit ton of weight. Because, yes! you know, yes. they've been really sick. And so, like, how do
one thing they don't like to tell you is that there is often a gastrointestinal aspect of this.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really common. And also, like, none of this is specific to cases that, like, land you in the hospital. Because that's the other thing. It's not like everybody who's super sick is in the hospital. Like, you could just be at home feeling like absolute shit for months. And at no point is it, like, hospital time. But you still don't feel right. And that's kind of a component of this that nobody's really talking about.
Yeah, and you've got guys like the Mets just signed Hunter Strickland. Hunter Strickland has irritable bowel syndrome. So that's like, there's like a whole bunch of things that you don't think about of underlying conditions that can be exacerbated by this virus. It's not just folks who like have no immune system or folks that have like respiratory problems or cardiac problems. Like my mom has Crohn's disease, so she's at super high risk. Not only because of the immune component of that disease, but because of the GI symptoms that this virus can bring on, can exacerbate her existing GI problems. So, you know, there are a whole host of things that can make playing a challenge through this.
Well, what's scary is Kenley Jansen still hasn't reported to camp, and he's had documented heart issues.
Yep.
So is he sick? Is he going to opt out? But
we're going to have a lot of conversations like this over the course of the next few months.
And also, I get, you know, trying to protect the player's privacy and everything. But again, here we are speculating on Kenley Jansen, on Hunter Strickland, on, you know, Amed Rosario didn't show up to camp. Like, now you're just leading to more speculation, which is also gross about, you know, the player's health. And you're going to, like, if all of a sudden somebody's not at the ballpark, it's going to be obvious. So, I don't know. It's just a weird balance of trying to protect the privacy. But then also now you're just creating more speculation, which could be more invading their privacy.
Jed Lowry, I do not want people to speculate.
Exactly.
About my leg injury.
Exactly, perfect example. Like, you're just going to lead to more speculation.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I get there's a balance, but I don't know if that was something the players voted on, and if that's the way they wanted it, then...
Well, I don't think it's surprising that most of them, I think, or at least many of them have, like, you know, owned up to their tests. Like, a lot of... It doesn't seem to be something that most are keeping private. So... Yeah. I guess that is kind of also a factor, and eventually, like, that may just be the norm, and then there's a lot of pressure on the players who wouldn't want to share that information. But again, I mean, there's only, like, if you're not if you're not playing for weeks at a time, and there's no, like, injury or timetable or anything, then it's not rocket science.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. This is just...
It's a mess.
So messy.
Exactly. It's just a mess. And baseball is handling it, just made it 10 times worse than it needed to be.
Yep.
And well, can we talk about the Shadow League, too, where they created their own rules?
Yes.
Like, how did they handle it? It was so much better than Major League Baseball, who had months to figure this out.
Because they cared about human beings.
That's true. I think, Maggie, you nailed it. I don't know if people don't know what the Shadow League was. It was a bunch of players who decided to get together in secret and play baseball. And they created their own rules to keep... There was, like, no sliding. Like, just totally ridiculous rules. But I guess it worked. Like, as far as I know, nobody got sick. Waka was one of them. I think Gazelman was one of them. Yeah. Scherzer.
As far as we know, no one got sick from that league.
From that, yeah. But yeah, it was a lot of big names that got together and just had this shadow league of baseball.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
It does actually sound like a lot of fun. Like, why was
Nationalized baseball, have a players league. Let's do it. I'm ready.
I was going to say, clearly, I mean, as far as I know, nobody got hurt or sick. So it worked. They stayed in shape. They're ready to go. So
clearly the players can handle their own shit better than Major League Baseball can.
Yep, I think that's the bottom of the line, is the players are a lot smarter than Major League Baseball.
Don't want to know how lucky they got with all of that.
Yeah. That's true, too.
If a bunch of jocks are smarter than you, and you're all, Harvard bros, then you've got a problem.
We got a big problem. But again, like, how many chances does Manfred get? Like, the whole numbers and the, like,
I'm so purposely over Rob Manfred, it's not even funny at this point.
Purposely putting out small numbers to make baseball look good. How was that not the final straw?
As long as he keeps making the money, he will be the guy.
But then he shamed Mike Rizzo. He called Mike Rizzo insubordinate because Rizzo had the audacity to say the testing was inadequate. So he's even turning on the higher-ups in baseball.
How dare you call my obviously insufficient testing insufficient?
Insufficient.
Yeah. But you know what? He doesn't work for Rizzo. He works for the learners.
Yeah.
He works for the owners. He doesn't work for the GMs.
I don't see any of the owners around to check in on their team to be all in this together. They don't seem to be around.
I did just have to do an article today, so I was going through the Getty pictures, and Jeffy Wilpon was there with a mask on. So there is total evidence of Jeffy.
It's because he still thinks he thinks he's a GM, like,
but that's
a
true.
GM light or something.
That's true.
Not like better than a GM.
Yeah, Jeff's probably not the best example, probably.
It's cosplay.
Baseball cosplay.
Probably his last chance to feel in control of anything, too. He knows the end is near.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. He needs to be even more involved because he's losing his grip, so he needs to hold on even tighter at this point.
Yeah. So never mind. Never mind my Jeff example. Bad example. Never mind. Forget I said anything.
I'm wondering, Maggie alluded to it earlier, like, what will it take for baseball to just call the whole thing off? And obviously, the amount of positive tests that they've had so far is not enough. And I'm kind of wondering, like, what it actually, like, would take. I mean, it's a dark line of thinking, but, like, what would it take? Would it take someone dying? Is that what it would take? I don't know.
I feel like there's a couple, I could see a couple of different scenarios, and like one of them is someone of note get it, like maybe dying, maybe just being in the ICU would do it. I don't know. But the other possibility is that even if nobody is like unbelievably sick, it gets to the point where a team can't really reliably field a even like fakeable major league roster.
Yeah.
Like if you know, 12 of your regulars are going to be out,
if a whole ass team has to virtually drop out.
Yeah.
Is that what it
is? Or if they, you know, or if the, like the, their, you know, backup pool starts to get so thin that like you just can't even pretend to be competitive. Like you're clearly fielding a minor league team in a major league game. That might also be enough too.
Well, that's what was so gross about the schedule reveal. And everybody was saying, oh, you know, the Mets end of the year is going to be so hard. We may never get there. And who knows what the teams are even going to look like at that point. Are they still going to be able to field the team at that point? Will the regulars be there?
Yeah, out here doing strength of schedule analysis. And I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah. Like, nobody knows.
They talk so much about, like, you know, will this, you know, what statistics will they, you know, what records will they break with small samples? And it's like, well, what records will they break? Because the rosters are just Swiss cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, what will the awards look like? Like, who's the MVP? The person who just
last
doesn't
man
get
standing.
That's what I was going to say. The person who doesn't get sick.
Yep. That's what it is.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, it might come down to that, and it's gross, and yet we have to have baseball for some reason.
Yeah. And I'm like wondering, like, what are the odds that they make it through this 60-game season, and what are the odds they even make it to opening day? Like, what are the odds at this point?
I think opening day they'll force no matter what.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I almost wonder if they would be more inclined to scrap it early, but now I'm wondering if...
No, the fact that they've made, like, such a production out of the schedule release and all this other stuff, I don't...
Mets and the Yankees, Subway Series, got to play each other 6 times, even though no other AL team plays an NL team 6 times.
To be fair, it is safest if the Mets play the Yankees as much as possible.
It is.
That sentence like makes me want to die.
Back and forth, over and over again.
It just makes the league out of the Mets and the Yankees.
Kill me.
But... Yeah, but, like, again, the schedule's all weird. Like, I don't know how you can view how historians are even going to view the season if it gets completed.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's so weird.
It is weird. I feel like they have to start it because of everything they've done and all the build-up to it, but I feel like there's a better chance of them starting and stopping than them never starting at all.
I think I'm inclined to agree with that at this point. But yeah, I also think another like factor, I think that like a lot of the people who are like super hype about the season in spite of themselves, because like, I mean, there's kind of two subsets of people that are psyched about baseball, right? There's like the people who like are like, this will heal America and like we have to have baseball and blah. But then there's also people who are just like, they know deep down it's bad, but they're excited anyway because they love baseball and it's like hard to help it. You can have complicated feelings. It's fine. I have complicated feelings.
It's a complicated issue.
But I think like the people who are excited about baseball for whatever reason, I think a lot of them, I'm not saying all of them, but I think a lot of them haven't thought very hard about how weird it's going to be to watch these games on TV without fans, because I'm not sure how many people have had that experience before, because I have, and I hated it. Like, it was not good.
Weird experience.
It was not good.
I mean, I was not like, you know, an O's fan at the time, like Allison, but like I watched it anyway because it was a weird, interesting novelty and a serious time.
Yeah.
And it was creepy.
It's creepy.
It was some like apocalyptic shit.
Yeah. And that's going to be every game. Like, I remember, like, it's weird because I wrote the Orioles, like, you know, essay for the Baseball Prospectus Annual for 2020. And in the opening paragraphs, I wrote about the no fans game and how it was something I thought I would never see again. And yet here we are. And like, this is long after I wrote that essay. But here we are. Every game is like that. And it's very weird. For folks who've never experienced it, it's very strange. It doesn't feel good. It feels very surreal and bad. And I mean, maybe we'll, like, if the season does continue without a complete apocalypse occurring and blowing it up, like, maybe people will get used to it as the new, like, normal, the way we've gotten sadly used to a lot of things about our new reality. But let me tell you, it's going to be more jarring than you even anticipate it is.
I want to say it was Jason Stark, I think, and he wrote about baseball returning after 9/11 and how the fans were such a huge part of that. And that's how we truly got healing, because we were able to come together and experience something together. And we're not there. Like, again, we sports should be the reward for a functioning society, which we talked about in the last podcast, and we're not there. If the fans can't be in the stands, then clearly something is still wrong. That should be your clue that it's wrong, and we're not. We shouldn't have sports. We don't get our reward yet because we failed at this.
Yep.
So,
yeah. And I would point out that not only are the fans not all in this together, but another previous, they drag race down Broadway nowadays, but anyway, in any case, they're not even lifting blackout zones for MLB TV this season, despite fans not being there. Just harkening back to a pot of topics of yore. So in case you thought that MLB was interested in having the fans be involved in any way, the answer is still nope.
Well, then they jacked up the prices, didn't they?
Well, so, as an MLB.TV subscriber who is moving, like, literally right as the season is starting. So, like, I'm moving away again right as the season is starting, and all the Nats and Orioles games will still be blacked out for me, despite the fact that this is a 60-game season. MLB.TV for this season costs $60. So let me tell you, the normal price of MLB.TV is about $120. Now, what is wrong with this math, ladies and gentlemen? Are we playing half
a season? It's disproportionate!
Yeah.
We are not. We are not playing half a season. We're playing less than half a season, and yet the price per game has actually increased. Now, to be fair, I have to look into this further because I actually got into, like, a conversation with another subscriber in my comments who was saying that the $60 price is actually for new subscribers and existing subscribers are getting, like, because we, like, the way it works when you, like, sign up for MLB.TV and you, like, are a continuing subscriber every year, as I am, and it automatically charges you. So it automatically charges you for your subscription every year in around February, because you can usually watch the spring training games that are televised as well with MLB.TV. So it'll charge you in February, and we got charged in February because back then the season wasn't canceled yet. But apparently existing subscribers are getting a rebate, to the point where it's going to be only $30 for MLB.TV for this season for existing subscribers with the rebate. So that's nice. But if you're a new subscriber, it's going to cost you $60, which is absurd. And the blackout restrictions are still in place, which is absurd.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to grow the game there.
No. Yeah.
Wouldn't want to, like, broaden your subscriber base in an unusual time. That doesn't sound desirable.
Yeah, and when everybody has to watch from home, how can we make it more difficult for people to watch from home?
You can't tout this as, like, the healing of America and not make it accessible to people. Like, come on, man. This is
MLB,
like,
is like,
shit.
We can and we will.
Look who you're talking about. It's the whole thing is just absurd. Like we've said so many times, can we at least have somebody in charge who likes baseball?
Yeah, I
bet. Oh, I do want to shout out the A's, though, for what they're doing with, you can buy a fan cut.
Yes!
And the proceeds go to charity. And if a foul ball or a home run hits your cutout, you get to keep it.
That's awesome.
So cool.
I think every team should be doing it. It's for a good cause. It's adorable. I would get them for my whole family. I would pay big money, not big money, but, like, you know, we're not eating out here, folks. Like, I can, you know, squeeze something. I would totally get one of those for every member of my family. We would watch all the games to see them. And it would be great. So, like, come on, Mets. Take my money and give it to charity, please.
But no, their money would go to the Wilpons' pockets. They're not giving it to charity.
So
that
true.
Is their charity.
They're giving it to a lovely young woman named Charity.
Who works for Jeff.
Yeah.
She works in their marketing department.
Yeah. Ugh, good lord. So, yeah. That's that's the show this week. But we will close out the show this week, like we do every week, with walk-off wins, where each of us talks about what is making us happy this week, baseball-related or otherwise. Linda Cerevich, what is your walk-off win for this week?
Well, I have one.
Oh, no. I know what this is about.
I was supposed to close, finally, this Friday. But then that got delayed, so then it was supposed to be Monday instead. And then it turns out that apparently everybody's on vacation next week. So, yeah. So closing probably won't be until the 27th now.
Oh my God.
So this is the never-ending saga of trying to buy. We were ready to close on May 28th. It is now July 7th and with no end in sight. So yeah, July 27th, baby. So I'm trying to stay positive because this is walk-off wins.
If I'm not mistaken, ridiculous, frustrating delays are one of the hallmarks of home ownership. So congratulations and welcome to the club.
Yay! I'm fully an adult. I'm fully an adult. I mean, I guess on the plus side, like, I can save up a little more. Because, yeah, they gave me the whole rundown of the down payment and the closing costs, and I kind of wanted to vomit, so...
Yeah, just
a little bit of money. So, blood be a bright side. I can save more money, and... Yeah, but, I will get a place eventually. At least now I have a date that I can at least... you know, look forward to instead of being in limbo and the emails going back and forth and the, can we do this? Is it ready? Can we? But yeah, so eventually I'll be podcasting from a new location.
Marking it on your calendar is always good.
Yes. Yeah. So overall, right around when the season maybe will be starting back up, I maybe will be moving.
Yeah. Like you and I are moving at like the exact same time, basically.
That's true. Yeah, you're
like,
right.
My moving date is, so like our lease starts July 15th, but like our moving date is July 28th. So
okay.
It's like almost the same time.
Oh, so we can share nightmare stories.
Yep.
And then we'll share them with the pod, whether they like it or not.
Yep. Our listeners will get to hear all of our drama, but hopefully it will end up with both of us in a better spot. So
yes.
Yeah, yes.
I will nod with a sympathetic look on my face. You won't see it, but it's there.
Okay. Yes. All right. I appreciate that.
Anytime.
Indeed. Maggie, what is your walk-off win for this week?
So my walk-off win is that I pulled off a solid, decent birthday party for Tommy, who is turning 6 on the 4th of July. He's my 4th of July baby. You know, I mean, it was hard because, like, he wanted his friends there and, you know, has lived enough of his life that he knows that there are birthday parties with all of your friends there and that it's amazing. Ellie has not had that, you know, that memory yet. But so, you know, he asked, like, several times to the point where I think he was just trying to make sure that, like, I hadn't forgotten something. But it was a nice day. This guy got not one, but 2 model train sets, which is ridiculous.
Oh.
Both like fancy Lionel trains. One of them is a like legit electric train set with like, you know, track that plugs into the wall and everything. Like, and he just had a great day. And, my sister made a cake for him and, you know, we had like the extended family on Zoom and it was a beautiful day. We were out there early before it got too hot. We were in the shade and pizza and we listened to It's Raining Tacos on a loop, which is apparently all the kids' favorite song this summer. So it's,
oh boy, do
Baby
I want
Shark
to know
is done.
Oh,
Raining
no.
Tacos is in. It is very catchy.
Is that going to be the Nats' next postseason song?
Oh, God.
I kind of hope so. I really love the song.
Okay, so it's not awful? Like
no, it's awful. It's really awful. pretty sharp too. Like, I don't know. I guess when you're listening to kids' music a lot, you start to grade it on a curve because there is so much that is way, way worse than Baby Shark and is way, way worse than Raining Tacos. I do suggest that you look up Raining Tacos. It's only like a minute and a half long or something, and it's adorable. But anyway.
You have definitely gotten me interested.
we will link Raining Tacos in the tweets, everyone, for this episode.
There is also a YouTube version that has been edited to 10 hours long.
What?
It's just as a loop of Raining Tacos. We're living in a weird era here, folks.
No song exists. If it does not exist in a 10-hour looped version on YouTube, does it exist?
Does it really exist?
That's true.
I mean, yeah, everything from birthday. Like the Kirby theme song to Pokemon to like all those things exist on 10-hour.
Wait, hold on. There's a Hailing Taquitos, which is the sequel to Raining Tacos.
What? We have not been able to convince him to listen to it yet. He is very like very skeptical.
This is amazing.
I mean, hard to blame you. Like, when the original is flawless, why would you want to divert from it?
Yeah, you can't improve perfection.
But yeah, so it was a good birthday. Happy kiddo. Good presents. Oh, we also got him a trampoline, so that has been total, like, just a mini trampoline, not one of the big ones. Those will break your kid's legs. Don't use them. But it's been nice to have a little extra like energy burn off, and yeah, so happy birthday, Tommy. I adore you, and I wish I could have given you a party with your friends.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Tommy. That's very happy.
Yeah.
My walk-off win for this week is that Hamilton was on Disney Plus.
I want to see it so bad.
God, our TV broke. Our TV broke the day before it debuted.
Oh no.
Oh no.
I may not have said it directly on the podcast before, but if you're a longtime listener of the show, you could probably at least infer by now that I'm like a big theater person and like, you know, really love Hamilton. I've seen it on Broadway, but you know, Michael hadn't seen it before, and so I was very excited to watch it with him, and so it finally debuted on Disney Plus on July 4th, and so we watched it, and I, you know, cried for 20 minutes, as usual, and it was amazing, and I was so happy, and that's basically it, and I just, like, you know, in addition to just, like, the unique joy that, like, Hamilton brings in it being groundbreaking in so many ways. And I did see, like, caveat, I did see the Twitter discourse over the weekend about Hamilton, and it was, you know, exhausting, as many Twitter discourses are. But I'm glad that we're having, like, you know, these conversations about Hamilton. And, you know, there's some arguments about, like, you know, glorifying the founding fathers in general, and especially guys like Hamilton, whose family owned slaves, and, you know, things like that, which is, you know, not at all a trivial concern. But I do think if you actually watch the show, you will see that they are not portraying this man as, you know, a perfect hero that does not have flaws. They emphasize his flaws quite a lot. And I think if you're looking at Hamilton as, like, the unambiguous good guy, you haven't watched the show right or watched it closely enough. But the songs are amazing. You know, the fact that it's, you know, such a diverse cast is groundbreaking in its own right. And it's just an amazing show. But I think a broader part of it that makes it awesome is I just think that, just like what Maggie talked about when she was talking about the New York City Ballet during our other walk-off wins during our pod a while back, like, making these things accessible to people is really important. Making art accessible to people is really important. Broadway is freaking expensive and can only be afforded by a select few people who live close to New York and B can afford the tickets. Like, Hamilton is ridiculously expensive, like, even more than normal Broadway shows. It's impossible to get a ticket to see Hamilton. I got really lucky. Like, my roommate happened to just be like on an email list where they were like doing a lottery, And like, she just got lottery tickets. She got really lucky. And that's the only reason I got to see Hamilton on Broadway. Otherwise, I never would have been able to, and I never would have been able to afford it.
I mean, I paid full price for, I paid like face value for our tickets, and they were like $250 a piece.
Oh.
And that's like the regular, that's like, I got them on Ticketmaster. I stayed up late till the moment they posted and like sat there hitting refresh. I actually accidentally bought two sets of tickets and got to sell one of them. So that was nice. That helped like slightly offset the purchase. But yeah, Hamilton is expensive.
It's a lot of money.
And it ought not be.
Can afford it. And so just making these things accessible in general is a really good thing. And I think more Broadway shows should be available on streaming services. I just think it should be a thing more often than it is. So kudos to Lin-Manuel Miranda for releasing it for the world to see, because the world deserves to see this show.
And I'm going to have to get Disney Plus, aren't I?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I have it, I'm lucky in that, like, I have it for free this year because, you know, like, I had envied T-Mobile customers in the past for getting MLB.TV for free. Verizon customers, little known fact, can get Disney Plus for free for a year.
Okay, so maybe when I move and I get Verizon.
Yeah. So I don't know exactly, like, if it's all the plans or select plans. I think it's plans with unlimited data. So my family shares a family plan, and we have unlimited data. So it was one of the plans that qualify for free Disney Plus. So I signed up for
it. But also, I think it's, like, $8 a month. So you could get it for a month and, like, watch it twice and then cancel. And that seems like a pretty good return on investment.
Exactly.
I would pay $8 to see Hamilton.
Yeah. I totally would. It's true.
It's true.
So yeah, I'm lucky. I have Disney Plus for free until November because I signed up for it last November for the free trial for a year. And I'm probably, in all honesty, going to start paying for it after that. But it was nice to get the free year of it. It's pretty sweet. I got to watch Hamilton for free, more or less. So yeah, I'm really psyched that Hamilton's on Disney Plus. They should release more Broadway shows on streaming services for the world to see. It's really awesome. And it was a great way to spend July 4th. So that is my walk-off win. But while you're waiting for your Disney Plus subscription, you should check out our entirely free content on AmazingAvenue.com. I'm so good at segues. You know, we're now ramping up our, you know, season content. Now that there's baseball, we are having baseball content again. So we have our revamped season preview series. We had a season preview series when there was still a season originally. Then it got interrupted, and now we're having it again. Obviously, we have to rewrite all of these now that the context of everything is entirely different. So we're previewing each player's season, so you should check that out. We're going to, once the season gets underway, we're going to start having game recaps, all of that good stuff. So go to AmazingAvenue.com, check all of that out, check all out all of our content. Follow Amazing Avenue on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Amazing Avenue. You can follow the show on Twitter at A Pod of Their Own. You can follow each of us on Twitter. I am at Petite PhD. Where are you, Linda?
At Linda Service.
And you, Maggie?
At Maggie162.
Follow the show on Twitter. Follow each of us on Twitter. Subscribe to the show. iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, leave a review. It really helps people find the show. The original intro and outro to this podcast is by Bunga. Let's go Mets, and don't forget, there is no crying in podcasting.